I'm going to give you my book review for the month of June. It took me about halfway into July to finish this book. And at some point on X today, I will post all of my books so far. But I'm doing a pretty good job after we had our daughter a couple of years ago. My book a month thing fell by the wayside. So one of my New Year's resolutions was to get back to a book a month. And so I've done that so far.
That's good.
Again, I'm not the voracious reader that Tim Kalishaw is. I think he's probably up to about 30 books by now.
I think he pads his stats.
Maybe. I think he reads a couple pamphlets.
Yeah,
and
Dr. Seuss
those.
And stuff like that and counts it.
I am not above that either. Since I was falling a little behind, I will occasionally choose a short book. I've read a couple of short books this year just so I can catch up. But the book that I just read is a longer book, and it took me a while to get through it because I reread a couple of the chapters because I found it really, really interesting. There's a big interest in longevity these days. I don't know why that interest is resurgent or top of mind for everybody for the first time. A lot of people say it was because of the pandemic, and that refocused a lot of people, priorities in life, maybe valuing health over making money and things like that, and living longer became very important to a lot of people. Also, the latest stats show that lifespan is declining for the first time in about 100 years.
Yeah.
We are not living as long as we were 10, 20, 30 years ago. So that's very strange. So a lot of people are looking into how to lead a healthy life. Well, we were on our trip to Florida a couple of months ago, and we were in a bookstore there, and I was looking in one of the sections, I think on health and fitness, and I saw this book called Outlive, The Science and Art of Longevity by Dr. Peter Attia. And it says, Rethinking Medicine to Live Better Longer. And I picked it up and I started thumbing through it. It looked great, so I bought it. And I don't really keep up with the New York Times bestseller lists. I don't look at that.
Was it up there?
But come to find out that once I had bought it, it had already been on the New York Times bestseller list for 6 months or 12 months. So it was a very famous book.
Okay.
I had not heard of it, but after reading it, I can see why so many people have read it. And the background of Dr. Peter Attia, he was trained at Johns Hopkins, was going into medicine, but soured on it, what he calls medicine 2.0. We had medicine 1.0, which was when we were starting to figure everything out, then medicine 2.0, which is what most doctors practice these days, he didn't like because it was more treatment and not prevention. And in his residency, he saw a lot of examples of where he thought he was doing the right thing in trying to help somebody get out ahead of something or prevent this or make them more comfortable here so they don't suffer there. And he would be corrected by his superiors. No, you're not doing the right thing. The right thing is to treat this person's symptoms or treat this person's disease. And he said, we need medicine 3.0. which is not treating the disease, but preventing the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And so his book, Outlive, is all about not just lifespan, but health span is what he calls it. So you may have a lifespan of 80 years, but if in the first 50 you're healthy, but the last 30 you're not, well, then your health span was only 50 years.
Yeah.
And so those last 30 years of not being healthy, well, what good is the lifespan? I mean, I'm sure it's good in some cases. Even if you're not healthy, you're still experiencing things. And by the way, this whole, and he acknowledges this whole conversation is very nuanced and there are outliers and there, but we're generally speaking here. You want your health span to be as long as your lifespan if possible.
Does he think is part of this whole thing about prevention, and maybe even once you've been diagnosed with some sort of condition that generally we're over-medicated?
That's part of it, yep. Yep. Now, he doesn't say all medicine is bad.
Right. Sometimes you have to do it.
But he talks about the four horsemen that are coming for all of us. These are the four things that get most of us. Heart disease, cancer, metabolic dysfunction, which he talks about a lot in this book, and that is when your body chemistry just gets out of whack and organs like the liver or the pancreas stop working properly. You aren't processing things like glucose well. Mm. That leads to type 2 diabetes, which is a major problem in our country. It can lead to stroke, a whole host of problems. So metabolic disorder. I believe only 12% of Americans are metabolically healthy.
12%?
12% are metabolically healthy. And he has a checklist in this book of five or six things that if you check even one of them, you're in trouble. But if you check three of them, then you are definitely metabolically unhealthy. And most Americans check two, three, four of those boxes.
One of them is, do you eat hot dogs?
Something like that. So it's heart disease, cancer, metabolic dysfunction, and the fourth of the four horsemen, degenerative neurological disorders like Alzheimer's, dementia, things like that. That's what's getting almost all of us in the end. One of those four horsemen. There is a fifth that he acknowledges and that he has struggled with and that he writes a lot about in this book, and that is mental health. And a lot of it is tied to the four horsemen.
Right.
But a lot of it is not. It's its own thing. But he makes it a separate category, and that's something everybody has to deal with, you know, in their own way. And there are preventative measures there. But he's mainly focused on these four horsemen and how to prevent chronic disease. Instead of just treating the chronic disease when it rolls around, he says there are so many things that we can do to prevent the chronic diseases. And he writes in chapter 11, more than any other tactical domain we discuss in this book, exercise has the greatest power to determine how you will live out the rest of your life. There are reams of data supporting the notion that even a fairly minimal amount of exercise can lengthen your life by several years. It delays the onset of chronic diseases pretty much across the board, but it is also amazingly effective at extending and improving health span. Not only does it reverse physical decline, which I suppose is somewhat obvious, but it can slow or reverse cognitive decline as well. It also has benefits in terms of emotional health, although those are harder to quantify. So he writes, if you adopt only one new set of habits based on reading this book, it must be in the realm of exercise. If you currently exercise, you'll likely want to rethink and modify your program. And if exercise is not part of your life at the moment, you're not alone. 77% of the U.S. population is like you. And now is the time to change that. He says going from zero weekly exercise to just 90 minutes per week can reduce your risk of dying from all causes.
Wow.
So he says exercise is the wonder drug, and it's the most effective across the board. And he goes deeply, and this is a pretty long book, he goes deeply into the reasons for that.
What counts as exercise? I always wondered this about myself, because you guys, like I know, Junior, you do like dedicated exercise things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always like moving a pallet of bricks, you know, armload at a time, and building stuff and doing stuff that always has me out of breath and sweating like a hog for hours on end.
It's a great question, and I think he would say that's great that you're doing that.
Mm-hmm. But is it exercise?
He would say no.
Okay.
It's movement, at least. You know?
It's consistent movement. And he says the question he gets asked the most is, should I be doing aerobic exercise or strength training? And he says the answer is yes.
Yeah, both.
You should be doing both. It's the aerobic exercise that he starts talking about. And he says the more you do, the better. But ideally, you would want to start, your first goal should be 4 45-minute sessions a week. Mm. So that's, what, three hours a week or something? 4 45-minute sessions a week. And he says the key here is zone 2 training, which is a technical term for...
He's losing me already.
For your heart rate. Zone 1 is just...
Two.
Zone 1 is going on a walk.
Uh-huh.
Zone 5 is sprinting.
Mm-hmm.
Zone 2 is an effort that you can still carry a conversation with whoever you're exercising with, but it's kind of difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to get the heart rate up to at least that for 45 minutes a day, 4 days a week, and hold it there. So what you're doing, you know, that kind of lifting and whatever work that would be more strength training, which he says is equally important. And he talks a lot about strength training, especially as we age, because we start to lose muscle mass very rapidly the more we age. And that falls are, I think, the number one killer accidents for people over the age of 65 or 70. And he really, really stresses stability. That if you want to live to be 100, that you need to have a stable musculature and core, and you need to be able to wear clown shoes, really solid base. You need to be able to handle stepping off a curb when you don't know you're stepping off a curb, and being able to balance yourself, mm-hmm. because that gets so many of us.
Yeah, something that used to be pretty easy.
Yeah.
As you get older, it's not.
And an important part of that is losing weight, because the problem is that people gain weight and it makes you top heavy.
Yeah.
You know, because you'll have it around your middle and then your core is all off and your balance is not nearly as good.
He says there are two great predictors of how long you're going to live. Your VO2 max, which is measured, you know, on the treadmill or the exercise bike, and that's how your body processes oxygen and delivers it to the muscles.
Max. He's the VO guy.
And grip strength.
Really?
Yeah, and that's one of his, in his plan on how to live longer, is strengthening your grip. You know,
one of my hands is great at that.
One of your hands gets tons of work.
Cheap.
Carry heavy dumbbells around or hang from a bar. If you can hang from a bar for 2 minutes, then you've got a good grip strength. But from the standpoint of aerobic exercise, he says maybe the most vital thing in keeping our bodies healthy is the health of our mitochondria. Those are the powerhouse of the cells. And aerobic exercise strengthens and increases mitochondria. And people who just sit around, their mitochondria just disappears. And so their cell health is extremely poor. But if you're exercising, you have healthy mitochondria, and that means you have healthy cells, and that helps you fight chronic disease more than anything else. One thing that shocked me in this book, he said, you are better off smoking than not exercising.
Really?
He says,
so I can start smoking.
People who don't exercise are unhealthier than people who smoke.
Okay.
Which shocked me.
But a lot of people Keith Richards, I guess that explains that.
But a lot of people that smoke also don't get exercise, right. So they got the double whammy.
Right.
Yeah.
He talks about sleep and how important that is, and I know that's a big topic for the three of us and all of us here on the Morning Crew that wake up ridiculously early. But you have to try to get your 8 hours.
It's another strike.
And that is not only incredibly important in the rebuilding of your physical body, but also your brain every night. That's where we regenerate everything. And so he says it's incredibly important. Nutrition was a weird chapter. He said it's his least favorite subject. He says there are just way too many questions out there and nobody really has answers. Every diet thinks it's the right diet. And so he preaches some basics, you know, don't drink sugary drinks and try to eliminate as much sugar as you can. And you need a lot of protein, a lot of the basics there. But he doesn't really even like to talk much about nutrition because he thinks there's so much misinformation out there. And he likens it to talking to somebody about religion or politics. Everybody is so dug in on their diet.
Right.
Yeah.
But he says that a lot of the people that he hears argue these diets, their information is just incorrect. But that kind of like politics.
Yeah.
But they go ahead and argue it anyway. They're just convinced that this is the only way, that you have to be a vegan or you have to be keto or whatever it is. But he just says be sensible when it comes to nutrition. Same thing with alcohol. He says there's no question alcohol hurts us. But even he has a drink every now and then. And he says genetics obviously also play a role. And for a lot of the centenarians, it does play a role, but he says genetics doesn't matter until you're about 80 or 90.
Mm.
He says he hears so many stories of, well, my dad died of a heart attack at 50 and my brother died of a heart attack at 50, so I'm destined to die of a heart attack at 50. He says that is absolutely not the case. That is, if you work at your health span, and if you work at all of these areas, exercise and strength and balance and sleep and nutrition, that there is nothing in our genetic code that says you are destined to die at 50 from a heart attack just because your family has that history.
Yeah.
Now, when you get to 80 or 90, he says then genetics play a very, very large role in how long we're going to live. But he talks about one goal that everybody should have, and that is the centenarian decathlon. And the things that you should aim to do in your 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, because it will help extend your health span. Hike 1.5 miles on a hilly trail. You should be able to do this at all times, you know, starting in your 30s, 40s, and 50s. Get up off the floor under your own power using a maximum of one arm for support.
Yeah.
Pick up a young child from the floor. Carry two.
Not just at random at some public place that it's
right.
Not your child.
Yeah, make sure.
Do not kidnap.
Have some sort of custody.
Carry 2 5-pound bags of groceries for 5 blocks. Lift a 20-pound suitcase into the overhead compartment of a plane. Balance on one leg for 30 seconds, eyes open. Bonus points, eyes closed, 15 seconds. I tried it with my eyes closed. I couldn't make it 5 seconds.
I know, and the officer was pissed at me the other day.
Number 7, have sex. You know, George
is down as another strike.
George is against nursing home sex.
Damn it.
Yeah, why are you against
that?
He's against old people
he
having...
He says this is helping you stay young.
Okay. Well, I'm not in a nursing home yet.
Might as well be.
Number 8, climb 4 flights of stairs in 3 minutes. Number 9, open a jar, back to grip strength. And number 10, do 30 consecutive jump rope skips. He says if you can do these, and he's got a full list that's much longer, but it's basic tasks, everyday tasks like this, that as long, if you can keep pushing this out where you can still do all of those in your 50s, or then your 60s, or then your 70s, then you are greatly increasing the chances that you could live to be 100.
Okay.
So there you have it. That's
the book of the month. It's been a good one.
Okay, who? Oh, George is already throwing up. You're already raising the white flag.
Yeah. All right, well, you should read this book. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
It's called Outlive, The Science and Art of Longevity by Dr. Peter Attia. And again, at some point today, I'll post all the books that I've read so far this year.